So, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings. This is text 22. Asankalpad jayat kaman. Krodha kama vivarjanat. Arthanate ksaya gyoblobam. Vayam tadva vamarsanat. Srila Prabhupada explains that by chanting these verses at the beginning, it creates the mood for the whole class. And when Prabhupada was here, he had to stop the devotees because everyone wanted to chant. So we have to get into that mood. These verses are important, and it helps you to actually learn the verses in proper pronunciation. At the same time, we want to create that spiritual energy. These verses are, you know, powerful. So that's the problem. And chant nice and loud, too. You can't? Did you chant yet? You did? Okay. Everybody, all right. Asankalpa jayat kamham. Koda kama vibarjana. Gatanakshaya lobham. Asankalpat. By determination. Jayat. One should conquer. Kamam. Lusty desire. Krodham, anger, kama vivarjanat, by giving up the objective of sense desire. Artha, accumulation of wealth. Artha, a cause of trouble. Iksaya, by considering. Lobham, greed, bhayam, fear, tattva, the truth, avamarsanat, by considering. So sometimes we get questions, how to get rid of lust, how to get rid of anger, how to get rid of envy. So in this section of the Bhagavatam, it gives you direct explanations of how to conquer over these bad qualities. And here's the example. By making plans with the determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has suggested how one can conquer lusty desires for sense gratification. One cannot give up thinking of women, for thinking in this way is natural. Even while walking on the street, one will see so many women. Now, Prabhupada also explains that the word woman in Shastra refers to not the female gender, but it refers to the opposite sex. So he says, for man, woman is woman, and for woman, man is woman. So, just so you get an understanding. This is what it refers to. Okay, however, if one is determined not to live with a woman, even while seeing a woman, he will not become lusty. If one is determined not to have sex, he will automatically conquer lusty desires. The example given in this regard is that even if one is hungry, if on a particular day he is determined to observe fasting, he can naturally conquer the disturbance of hunger and thirst. If one is determined not to be envious of another one, he can naturally conquer anger. Similarly, One can give up the desire to accumulate wealth simply by considering how difficult it is to protect the money in one's possession. If one keeps a large amount of cash with him, he is always anxious about keeping it properly. Thus, if one discusses the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, he can naturally give up business without difficulty. Om Gyan Timidandasya Ginajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mayam Dadanti Swam Padantikam. So one of the key words in this whole section is determination. To give up lusty desires, to give up envy, to give up anger, to give up greed, to give up fear, there has to be some emphasis on making a determined effort to act in that direction. So how important it is for determination, as Rupa Goswami explains in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that I'm sorry, with Bhakti Ujjwal Nilamani. No, that's wrong also. Upadeshamrita, thank you. Okay. Krishna, he says in the Upadeshamrita that Utsaham Nishchaya Daryan. So determination is one of the most important qualities and characteristics to exhibit on the platform of devotional service. Because without determination, it's like someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what if I don't have a determination? Prabhupada said, then you're an animal. Because he said, because animals cannot be determined. If you break a stick or you make a movement, the animal will become fearful and run this way and that way. And so this quality of determination is a quality of the will. The will can determine, just like there's many things in life we become determined to achieve. We want to learn to play the harmonium or the madanga. We become fixed in learning, and we set ourselves time aside every day, and we practice. And by that determination, by proper practice, we develop these skills. So we want to go to, you know, get an education. We have to go through the institution, so much time, effort, energy put aside. But we want that degree, so we do it, determination. So Krishna consciousness is situated on determination. Why? Because there are obstacles. And obstacles are apparently, now not absolutely, but apparently, therefore, our defeat. We somehow become, what we say, diverted from by obstacles, lose our enthusiasm, become a little lazy, give up, go away, do something else, or even become frustrated. So, but obstacles are good because they help you to increase your determination in Krishna consciousness. But then again, you have to have some determination. If that's not there in some seed form, then you have nothing to build on. So determination is fostered here. It says that if you want to give up lusty desires for sense gratification, make plans with determination. So the plan has to be made. Now, practical plan, how you're going to do it, and then do it. Prabhupada gives the example of himself in terms of his success for spreading Krishna consciousness. And he quotes one verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Vyavyasatmika Budhir Ekeha Kudanandana Bhu Sakya Yanatascha Budayo Vyavasahinam, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary on this verse. And this verse says that one who is one-pointed in action, fixed in determination. in other words, if your intelligence is not one-pointed, it's in many directions at one time. Just like you see a tree has branches, but the branches are going in different directions. But maybe if you see a particular object that is pointed in a certain direction, then that's the direction it's going. It might be growing in that direction. So in the same way, this determination is so important. And Prabhupada explains that based on Vishwanath Chakravarti's Thakura on this verse, which he says, that whether it's easy or whether it's difficult, it's not a consideration. If something is easy, nice. If something is difficult, okay. So these two things are opposite, and we have the tendency to act or react one way or another, but depending on that experience. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says, based on this verse, that your success in Krishna consciousness is not to consider easy or difficult. In other words, the opposite. Stay fixed on your goal. And the feature of this, as opposed to the materialists who may apply the same principles for their own success in whatever they're trying to achieve, is that when you're determined in Krishna consciousness, you receive the help of the Lord. So you actually access that Lord's mercy, which is a major factor in achieving the goal that you're trying to achieve. In this case, we want to become fully Krishna conscious. Because unless we are fully Krishna consciousness, we have to again come back and complete the business in another life. And then, of course, as Prabhupada would always say, we don't know what our next situation will be. It may be good or may not be. So this determination is so important to understand. And so again, then how, I think, I remember Prahladananda Maharaj wrote one Vyasa Pooja offering to Srila Prabhupada many years ago. And the whole thing was on determination. I forgot what year that was, but it was quite a while back. And I thought it was really interesting because he was quoting Prabhupada and actually mentioning some of the things that fortify that element of determination. And of course, Prabhupada gives a couple points. One of them, the things he says, that determination comes by associating with people who have that characteristic and that quality. That helps to bring about. But then again, on a personal level, that sense gratification weakens determination. So every time we engage in activities that are contrary to Krishna consciousness, we're weakening our determination in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes devotees think, well, you know, I need a little break. You know, not too much pressure. I need to take some time out and go to, Dubrovnik for holiday, you know. And take a little time, relax, kick back, you know. Take gaze at the sunset, sunrise, and whatever else, some of the scenery on the beach. You know, so take it easy, and then when I come back, I'll be really determined in my Krishna consciousness. But then again, you're going to face the same difficulties, because, and sometimes they also become stronger. And I've seen that with devotees. I've seen over the years where a devotee be practicing Krishna consciousness. He'll go away, and then for some reason he'll come back again and try again. And then he'll try for some time, go away again. And then each time he goes away, it's a longer time before he comes back. And then you don't see him anymore. So that's how it is. If you stay, and as they say in English, there's an old cliche, you have to bite the bullet. That means you have to somehow or other go along with the difficulties and take shelter of the process of Krishna consciousness. That makes you strong, and that also gives you realizations on how to progress in Krishna consciousness. So this is very important, this quality of determination, not to give in to situations which can cause us to think that I should be less determined or I should do something different. So it's here. So lusty desires, and of course, Prabhupada makes the point on sex life. And he says that those who give up sex life, they become very determined. It says that even in the materialist, if a materialist remains celibate his whole life, he can attain Brahmaloka. That's how powerful celibacy is. Of course, there's different features and facets of celibacy. What does that actually mean? But I won't go into all the details on that. But basically, to give up that desire and then work on developing that attraction for Krishna, because you can't give up sex desire unless you're attracted to Krishna. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's all dependent on your strength of your attraction to Krishna. As your strength of your attraction to Krishna increases, that other desire starts to dissipate or become weaker and weaker and weaker. Because Krishna is the supreme object of love. And when love is directed in that direction towards Krishna, it makes everything else look, you know, insignificant or pale like that. So that point is so, what we say, essential in the practice of Krishna consciousness, that one has to understand that this entanglement, that's why we have what is called Grihastha Ashram. The Grihastha Ashram is not a license for sex desire. It allows you to fulfill your emotional and physical needs in a sanctified atmosphere where Krishna consciousness activities is the main principle. And everything that governs your activities together, along with those religious principles, are meant to elevate you towards making progress in Krishna consciousness. I saw like one example of what is not Grihastha Ashram. And we have many examples of that. What is not Grihastha Ashram? So I was sitting in Vrindavan. I was given a Bhagavad Gita class in Prabhupada's that room adjacent to Prabhupada's room there in Vrindavan. So right after the class, one lady, she came and said, you know, she knew me. She said, "Maharaj, you know, I have a problem with my husband." I said, "Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay, Krishna, I'm ready. Fire away." So I tightened my seatbelt and made sure I, you know, was looking in one direction. And then she said, "My husband, he doesn't pay any attention to me. He loves to read Chaitanya Charitamrita all day. And he wants me to cook and wash clothes. And so I do that. But then that's all. That's our relationship." And he was actually a scholar. He was actually a member of what we call it, BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. So he was a scholar, there's no question. And so he would spend all his time on the books, reading, studying, writing, that's all. But he was married. Nice girl. She was a very nice person. And I said, "Well, I don't know what to say. How do you give a solution to that one?" So I just say, "Well, you know, maybe you should not cook for him and just let him know that, you know, there's more to it than the relationship than just cooking and cleaning, you know. You know, tell him, you know, wash your own clothes." So, you know, I left it at a few, what we say, off the top of my head, tips. I don't know if they were actually really good. And then, you know, she left and she saw me about a few months later, and I just had to inquire what was happening, and she said, "It's over." It's over. Fortunately, she got remarried and found a husband that actually knew what it meant to become a husband. So, I mean, he should have never gotten married if that's what his basic principle was, to have a wife who was just a worker. That's not the purpose of married life. So, and then you have the opposite, where people want to overly engage in physical and emotional activity, and then they lose their enthusiasm for spiritual life. So they go, you've got people who go one way, too much, and the other way, too much. Sri Panchatattva Ki Jai. So there are rules, regulations, and principles. And that way one can, at the later part of life, after fulfilling their needs in and of also executing devotional service nicely in the grihastha ashram, one can move on to a more renounced lifestyle. And then ultimately, full renunciation and, you know, back home, back to Godhead. So the purpose of the association of men and women is to fulfill that need for a certain purity in life, produce children. That's also considered to be, you know, a service in that ashram. As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, you know, if I was married, I would produce 100 children. He said that. Of course, he never got married. And that wasn't his intention, but he wanted to give his instructions to his grihasthas that, yeah, raise Krishna conscious children. Don't just have children, but have them make them Krishna conscious. So every ashram has a purpose, but the whole purpose is ultimately renunciation. Everything ends in renunciation. And even while one's associating in an atmosphere where renunciation is not the main focus, still that mood has to be there. Otherwise, attachment can somehow turn into something unpleasant, or what we say, material, like that. Giving up envy, one can conquer anger. This is an interesting statement, because usually, if one is envious, they're also exhibiting this quality of anger, like that, and either restraining their anger and becoming angry inside. Sometimes you're angry, but you don't express it. But because you're angry, it changes your physical experience. It causes problems with your health. And there's people who know how to check their anger, but still they get angry. And that can cause them some difficulties, mental, physical, like that. So one has to learn to give up anger completely. And this is the way, by giving up envy. The disadvantages of accumulating wealth. Prabhupada said wealth should be used in the service of the Lord. And then there's prescriptions for grihasas, for saving, for spending. Like that, if one follows those prescriptions, then they can give up the greed and fear. Well, this was one of the more powerful things out of all of this whole translation here. Giving up fear, because it's one of the hardest things to give up. Everyone is fearful of something, fearful of not gaining, fearful of losing, fearful of not enjoying what they have. Fear is everywhere. But Prabhupada said fear means two, the number two. And then he explained, if you see something outside of Krishna, which there is nothing, that causes fear. So when you know everything is within Krishna and Krishna is the supreme controller, then you can discuss these points as here. It says the principle of truthfulness, the absolute nature of the supreme in relationship to other everything. And gradually one can give up this element of fear. But there's always fear. Even one may give up 99% of it, but there's some little fear there. But if one can give up most of that, the fear of not becoming happy, this is sometimes people think, well, if I become Krishna conscious, will I become happy? Or if I take the Krishna conscious, will I become happy? Now there's a fear also there. Or the fear that if I take the Krishna conscious, I won't become Krishna conscious. Different types of fear. So, but again, fear can be given up when one discusses truth. In other words, we have bodhiyantas parasparam katiyantas chamam nityam tasyanti cha ramanti cha. One has to discuss philosophical teachings. We read these books, we hear the knowledge, and then we should also find time outside of the classes to discuss these things. Sometimes we give class, or sometimes in many temples, devotees have discussion programs. I know in some temples they have what is called brahmachari class, where the brahmacharis, one time during the day, usually it's in the late morning, but sometimes it's in the late afternoon, they all come together and have philosophical discussions. That keeps the devotees closer together amongst themselves, and it helps to also bring about a clearer understanding of the philosophy, and which is important, because when you know the philosophy and you know it in practice, then you can see Maya coming. Maya is very tricky and she's very subtle, and in a house you have the back door, you have the front door, you have the side door, and then you have the basement, you know. So Maya will come through the front door, but if you block that door, she'll try to come through the back door. And if she can't get in the back door, she'll try to come through the basement. And if you block that too, she'll try to get in through the windows. And if you block that, then she'll dig a hole outside and come underneath the earth and somehow try to get in. So, yeah, so Maya's like that. You can experience that when you're chanting japa, right? And you're trying to concentrate on japa, and there comes one thought, and you say, all right, I'm getting rid of that thought. And that's the thought that bothers me the most, so I'm going to really get rid of it. And so you're just like really determined not to get... And so Maya comes up with another thought. It's not so bad. But you're thinking, well, this one is not so bad. But that one, she figures she'll give you that one first, and if you go for that, then she'll come back with the other one. It's very tricky. Super tricky. So this is how one has to become, aware of the philosophical teachings. So when we're experiencing the attacks of Maya, then we refer to what Prabhupada said or what we learned in class or something that can help us to see the situation through Shastra. Because when you see through Shastra, you see. When you see through your own eyes, you may be partially correct. You may also be wrong. When we see through the Shastras, then we actually see. That is called Shastra Chakshus. And Prabhupada says this, meaning generating. The principle of generating, the principle of seeing, means to see through knowledge. Knowledge becomes a vision by which we see. And that's why not only hearing classes, but also discussing this knowledge day by day. I remember when I was in New Vrindavan, this was in the early days, the devotees would set aside time during the day to just discuss what was in class. And then we would sometimes speak a little bit about what class was going on. Would remind us of what we heard in the class, give us another understanding, help us to... Because staying in connection with the philosophy means staying in on the path of devotional service. Seeing everything in relationship to Shastra, through the eyes of Scripture, through the words of the spiritual master, which are one. It's one principle, but coming from different avenues. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, and Krishna himself. Like that. So we have so many avenues to receive knowledge. And knowledge is a feature of happiness, too. As you gain transcendental knowledge, you also gain transcendental happiness also. So it's important to discuss this philosophy. All right, so I'll just read this again. Making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. By giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing truth, one should give up fear. Any comments or questions? Dennis, is it? Yeah.
Maharaj, thank you. In this verse, it's a lot of topics to discuss. Question is, many times you mentioned by getting knowledge, we develop Shastra Chakshu, so by seeing with the eyes of knowledge. And sometimes I see myself knowing, seeing the situation, the challenge, so to say, and knowing that that's a situation to overcome, or yeah, what will happen if I indulge into it, knowing what's the solution, still the change, and the change of myself accepting this knowledge, this, yeah, isn't so easy and to accumulate and to accept and to practice it.
Right.
So I see it more connected to the false ego. Like, I won't bow down like this.
Well, it's not so even what? The false ego. It's more gross than that. Prabhupada gives the example. People read on the packages of the cigarettes that this is, you know, hazardous to your health, can cause cancer problems and birth defects. They were putting all these different illnesses you could get by smoking. And then they stopped. And now what they put on the side of the package, smoking kills. Two words. You've seen that? Yeah. Yeah, when I used to go through the London airport, I would always see that box as smoke, and still people buy cigarettes. Yeah, yeah. They can't give it up. It's called attachment. So there's some attachment there, and because of that attachment, it's called Hridaya Dulabhya. Hridaya Dulabhya. Knowing what's right and can't do it. It's called Hridaya Dulabhya, and it means weakness of the heart. I know this is right. I ate six pieces of Dennis's pizza, which are really so good. And here comes, Alexander with another pizza. He walks in and he says, this one is even better, and it's nice and hot. It's got more cheese on it. I can't move from the last six pieces. And I even brought you some fizzy drink with this one, so... So you'd think, it's coming from Dennis, it has to be good. So you can rationalize why you should take it, you know. But then, you know, later on I'm going to suffer. But then you think, maybe not. In other words, your intelligence convinces you to do it because it plays down the fact that you know you're going to suffer, but maybe you won't. And these are the subtle aspects of the mind, how it works. So weakness of heart is overcome by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and mainly also associating with devotees. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Madhurya Kandambini speaks about this Hridaya Dulabhya, weakness of heart, knowing what's right but can't do it. And we have the example of Dhritarashtra in the Shastra. Dhritarashtra knew his sons were avaricious. He knew that the Pandavas were righteous, but he supported his sons because he was attached. He even said that, when Vidura was giving him instructions, he said, I know what you're saying is right, but I can't do it. Even though Krishna's on the other side, he still couldn't do it. So that's called weakness of heart, when the attachment becomes so strong that you simply cannot change or make an effort to change. So that requires a good association. In the association with senior devotees, this is where you get your strength. This is where you get your strength. Because they're doing it. And you see how they do it. And how they've done it so easily and naturally. And you start watching that. And you also, because you're in that association, that atmosphere is also there. Mm-hmm. And you'll see the opposite too. When you see a senior devotee doing something, maybe you don't want to do it, and they're doing it, you think, well, they did it. Let me do it also. That's the power of senior association. So that's where the most potent form. But then you have to act on knowledge. You have to say, well, I know it's not good, and you have to understand and you make that stronger and stronger. And each time you make the mistake and you go for that situation, then you remind yourself after you suffer the reactions, oh, I suffered before. You can remember that. But that doesn't mean you have more strength to overcome it, because each time you give in, your strength gets weaker. Each time you resist, your strength becomes stronger. So you build on your strength every time you say no. And there's things with that we should do and we don't do for the same reason also. The other side too. I know I should do this, but I can't do it. And I know I shouldn't do this, but I want to do it. So this temptation's by the external energy. But it's meant to make you stronger. That's why it's there, to give you a chance to strengthen your spiritual life. There's a beautiful poem, I can't remember, it's by one lady, poet in the material world. She talks about fighting. The people who actually fight, they become strong. But those who never face the enemy, how can they be called heroes? A hero is not one who, you know, retreats, but lives for truth. If you live for truth, then you live. If you live because it's convenient or you like it or don't like it, then you're just going to be swept away by whatever comes. Mm-hmm. We have to live for truth, even though it's hard. So you have to practice that.
Many good thoughts you gave. Yeah. Thank you.
But I give you another hint which will be helpful. When you're faced with that situation, immediately come to one God brother and tell him the situation, and then you'll get some strength by talking to another person. When you try to do it yourself, sometimes your mind, just gives in. But when you talk to another devotee, they can help you. Just by talking, it helps. Yeah. Okay, anything else? Any other comments or questions? Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.